We're joined now by Juliette Kayyem. She's a lecturer on national security at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and a former member of the National Commission on Terrorism, which completed its work in June of 2000. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Does the government's transparency in putting this information out there, does that make sense to you in terms of possibly averting a terrorist attack, at least raising public scrutiny?
I think it does. I mean, I think we have to, as the American public, we have to think of it as sort of a terrorism attack delayed is a plus. That's a victory. I think part of the purpose of what the government's doing now is simply a statement to the terrorists, to the sleeper cells potentially in the United States, that we may not be sort of 10 steps ahead of them, but we're sort of close behind them, that if we can get them to sort of hold off on this attack, that, you know, we're never going to stop every attack, but that is, in fact, a victory.
As we just heard, though, in Mary Louise Kelly's report, right, there's no indication of how recent the reconnaissance missions may have been. Do you think that this could create the risk of focusing the attention of law enforcement in entirely the wrong area? There could be a whole new area of threat that they're ignoring.
I mean, that is true, and that's always a risk. I mean, remember in the lead up to September 11th, when you sort of went back to what the intelligence reports were saying, a lot of people were more concerned with terrorism events outside the United States than within the United States. So there's always that possibility. I think Chief Ramsey of D.C., who you had a segment on before, was right, though, in sort of suggesting that at least in this intense period leading up to the election, we have to assume that people living in D.C. and New York are going to have to get used to sort of this sort of heightened standard. I don't think that applies to people in Omaha, Nebraska, but certainly for those two cities, I think that's right. My personal feeling is that where I think before this White House was maybe sometimes political about its use of the terror alert system, I'm not so sure about this one because, one, the intelligence is quite different. It seems quite focused. We are raising the alert level for certain institutions in certain places. And politically, I'm not sure which way this actually helps the White House. I mean, do you feel like we're winning the war on terrorism more or less today? And I think if you sort of are crudely politically calculating, I would say it's a bit of a wash.
The information that was recovered is said to include a tremendous amount of detail from these reconnaissance
right.
missions, including the flow of pedestrian traffic and possible escape routes, elevator schedules, proximity of police and fire stations. Is that the kind of specificity that's known from prior al-Qaeda attacks?
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at so the Africa Embassy bombings in the late 1990s, there was a trial in New York based on those attacks and the information that came out in the trials. The public evidence showed these detailed accounts, sort of architectural diagrams, pedestrian flows of the embassies in both Tanzania and Kenya. There's actually this one moment in the trial where one of the al-Qaeda leaders who was convicted, members who was convicted, says, well, bin Laden, we were going to go in this way and put the truck there, but bin Laden, who was specifically involved with those attacks, had us move the truck over here, and that was a lot better. I mean, they are very, very into this very detailed account, so this is not surprising. But the key question, of course, is the one that you raised, which is, are we 5 years out from this potential attack, or 5 weeks or 5 days? And that's the information I doubt that the U.S. government even knows.
We've also just heard about the 25-year-old Pakistani who was arrested mm-hmm. several weeks ago, possibly the source of some of this information, who, according to Pakistani intelligence officials, was hand-carrying messages, or al-Qaeda operatives were hand-carrying messages, but he was also heavily involved on the internet, coding things on the web, using email addresses just for a few times and then canceling them. Does that add, do you think, to the knowledge of al-Qaeda's operations and how they're doing what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, one, his age and the idea that al-Qaeda is actually getting much younger. I mean, if you look at the age of bin Laden, his top leadership, I think al-Qaeda is now appealing to people who had nothing to do with the Afghan war and with young men who sort of just have this anti-American animus. And then if you actually look at the tools that they're using the tools of westernization, of modernization, like the internet. You're seeing, I think, a leaner, a smarter al-Qaeda in many ways. But the good news is, at least my personal opinion is that we're not hearing anything about weapons of mass destruction. I think the war in Afghanistan and the dispersion of al-Qaeda means that they're going to be using cruder, easy, accessible devices like car bombs. Weapons of mass destruction don't seem to be at the forefront of their planning.
At least in this plot as it's known now.
Exactly, at least in this plot, the one that seems to be getting everyone very nervous.
Juliette Kayyem, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Juliette Kayyem was a member of the National Commission on Terrorism in 2000. She's now a lecturer on national security at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government.